Riley.
Hey, Tom.
I think I've done it.
Oh, no. Yeah. That doesn't sound good at all. Have you done?
No, well, strictly speaking, I've got the best guest we've probably ever had.
Oh.
Yeah.
Who is it?
I know you like to come dancing. I've got Claudia Winkleman.
What?
Yeah,
Claudia
yeah.
Winkleman?
Yeah, and we're going live
what?
In five.
Oh my God.
Four.
This is amazing. Coming to you live for the first time ever, it's Radio Q! This week on the show, the legendary Claudia Winkleman! Plus music from Men on the Couch and Caroline Martin! And much more on Radio Go with your host, Riley Ray! Everybody, welcome to Radio Go! Thank you so much for tuning in! Great to have you, good to see you, and what a special day it is! Oh yes, you heard me right in the intro there. We have an actual bona fide celebrity on the show today. This is a really exciting day for us here on Radio Go. Gone are the days of, you know, salesmen, vampires, out and out criminals. Gone are the days of interviewing our living furniture. Gone are the days of the work experience girl coming in because we didn't have anybody interesting to interview. Gone, in fact, are the days of producer Tom proving over and over again his sheer ineptitude and inability to fulfill the most basic functions of his job. That's right. No, I said gone. It's good. We've done it. We've got a famous person on the show. The one and only Claudia Winkleman, as I imagine her parents called her as a child. Because that's how that works. Maybe, you know, when they had a cold. That's what a cold does, right? makes you mispronounce somebody's name. It's so exciting to have her. The reason I was thinking of a cold, actually, is I'm recovering from a little bit of one. You might be able to hear it in my voice here. But just a little bit stuffed up. You know, don't worry. I don't know why you'd have to worry. It's not like it's transmittable over radio waves. Although, the day that a virus evolves to transmit over the airwaves will be the end for us all. But, you know, I'm doing good. I just downed the Lemsip. That's all I do whenever I get a cold. Get myself a packet of Lemsip. Have myself a crazy weekend. Warm drinks for all. Well, mainly for me. Lemsip, I guess, is like approaching the level of like brand fame or you know, brand ubiquity, I suppose, where a Lemsip could like theoretically refer to like an own brand. Like, what would you call it if you got sachets of like whatever from Sainsbury's and it was like lemony medicine stuff? I guess you could call it medicine, but that's a little bit vague. Like, Lemsip is what it is, right? Even if it's not Lemsip, it's Lemsip. They call that brand generalization or something. I don't know what exactly they call it with brands. But what I've noticed is, because when I was younger, and, you know, I was a normal child, was interested in these sorts of things, it was always presented as like a bad thing for brands. Like, Google would for a long time work very hard to make sure that people in films and TV didn't say, oh, I'll Google that. Because if it becomes too general, if it is said too often, I guess it weakens the trademark. Like, it just becomes a standard verb, a part of the lexicon. I don't know if there's any examples of that actually happening. I'll have to check my Kleenex. But what I find interesting is that, like, more recently, I've noticed some brands trying to force it, trying to turn their names into verbs when they don't really
belong. I remember I think they've given up on it now, from what I've seen of their ads recently. But there was a long time where Argos were trying to do this. They were doing, don't just shop it, Argos it. And as if anybody, any human that wasn't an advertising executive, by which I mean any human, would use the phrase Argos it as a verb. Just like, oh, I'm just gonna go down to the shops to Argos some eggs. Gonna Argos some bread. Oh, where are you getting it from? Fucking Tesco, you fucking moron. Listen, this is truly embarrassing given the caliber of celebrity that we have on today. I'm so excited to be welcoming the great TV presenter, Claudia Winkleman, from The Traitors, from The Strictly, from the Piano, from...
BBC.
The BBC. Thank you, Tom. It's going to be great to have her here. I can't wait. In the meantime, we're going to listen to a song. This is a song from a Portuguese band, Men on the Couch, who I definitely didn't learn about today when looking for songs I could play. The song is called Clickbait. Hope you enjoy it here on Radio Go.
Boas, pessoal! Bem-vindos a mais uma música.
Funny you should mention clickbait, because that whole bit about Google.
Yeah,
it's funny because they tried to make shows not say.
Yeah,
Google
they didn't.
It.
They didn't want people to say Google because I guess that would be weaker for their brand.
I guess if they wanted to go out and branch out into new things like home devices and stuff like that.
Yeah,
it'd be like, all right, well, we don't want to associate that with the search engine and stuff, and it's just
which is weird because it's Google.
I
miss the days when a company could just do a thing rather than everything.
And the only thing that Google does well is the search engine.
Yeah.
And even now they're fucking that up.
Yeah. I don't know if Google does anything well these. I like maps, you know?
Maps?
Yeah.
Google Maps.
Yeah.
Oh, cool. You know when I Google Maps, Google Maps? You know when I want to use Google Maps?
Yeah.
If I go to Google.
Yeah.
And I want to use Google Maps, so I type in maps.
Yeah.
And then it opens up the bar where it gives you like all images, maps.
Yeah. Yeah.
I have to click on maps.
No, you don't.
And then it's showing me various places I can find maps.
Yeah.
On Google Maps.
Yeah. You've got yourself in a real pickle there.
Yeah.
This is, I've got to be honest with you, Tom, the second conversation you and I have had about Google Maps in the recent past. By the way, Tom.
Yes.
Congratulations on the big get.
Yeah.
Claudia Winkleman.
I know.
You're actually doing your job. I'm so impressed.
It's crazy.
Amazing.
It's crazy.
Well done. How did you get her?
Well, I aimed for Rob Brydon.
What do you mean?
So like...
And you missed and hit Claudia Winkleman. Hold on, have you been booking our guests by firing that big net cannon that's on the roof?
No. That net cannon is not for getting guests.
It's not. It's not really for anything.
No, it's not.
I don't know why it's there.
No one knows why it's there. But I contacted Rob Brydon's agent.
Yeah.
And they were like, Rob really wants to do it.
Do an impression of them. What do they sound like when you had
Rob Brydon's agent?
Yeah.
They were like... Hello, I'm Rob Brydon's agent.
Wow, that's dead on.
Yeah.
Amazing.
And then Rob Brydon phoned me up.
And what did he say?
He said, I'd love to
do
it.
Don't do the voice.
Okay. I'd love to do it.
Wow, that's a perfect impression of Rob Brydon's agent.
Yeah, yeah.
Was that Rob Brydon doing an impression of his own agent?
Yeah, and then I said, actually, no.
Turned him down.
Yeah, I turned him down.
How? How did that lead to you getting Claudia Winkleman?
That's how you get Claudia.
We don't have time for this.
Yeah,
I would love to hear the rest of the story. Well, we just don't have time.
You can fill in the blanks.
Welcome back to Radio Go!
And we're on.
Oh, damn it, Tom. That was Men on the Couch with Clickbait. Hope you enjoyed that one. The time is almost upon us.
Silence.
Oh, whoa. Hang on.
Silence and interruption.
Who are you?
You know who I am. I've been your colleague for many a year.
Hold on, listener. Sorry, this is not Claudia Winkleman. She'll be on in just a moment. You don't know who Claudia Winkleman is.
You've Claudia Winkleman. Is that the new Marvel superhero?
Oh, I know who this is. Sorry, step into the light, sir. Listeners, this is the archivist at the here at the station. He works down in the basement. We don't see a lot of you, to be honest with you. We're on the air right now, archivist.
Yes, but what I have to say is more important than whatever this banality is.
Well, this banality is actually quite important. There's a lot. It's a pretty big day. But okay, I'm sure we can fit in a little time. What is it you want to know?
I have, as you know, I've been cataloguing all of the noises that you and your colleagues have made, and I have come to an important discovery.
Oh, okay. Tom, could you just maybe tell Claudia to take five in the green room, and we'll just deal with this?
Yeah, sure.
Okay, archivist, please have a seat. Make yourself comfortable.
Thank you. It's much nicer than my office.
Yeah, you don't get a little light down there. Not much in the way of natural light.
I'll be honest.
Or unnatural light.
No. It is dark.
It is. That's the two types of light that there are.
I have perhaps not given you enough credit for your powers of observation.
So how do you see when you're doing your work?
Mine is an audio-based career.
Oh, I suppose so.
I began my listening career in the womb. My parents played me classical music, but again, I listened past the banality for the subtext of the situation.
Right, and what did you learn?
Well, I've learned that everything is connected. There are patterns. You must, they fit together like the streets of this city. They have to fit together, streets, otherwise they would just be a series of cul-de-sacs.
Yeah, it wouldn't go anywhere.
Sack-de-sacs, if you will. Don't talk back.
I'm so sorry. I apologize, archivist. Sorry, you said you had something of grave importance. Maybe we could get to it?
Indeed, I apologize. I have interrupted you and, in fact, interrupted myself with a perambulating thought. But yes, in this bag of audio cassettes from yesteryear, I have spotted an unsettling pattern that makes me think that something is approaching, and perhaps you, myself, this man, and your
producer
listeners.
Tom.
Producer Tom, yes, of course. Or Claudia Winkleman, whichever. We must listen and we must try and decipher together, because if it is to be stopped, then it must be listened and addressed.
Okay, this won't take long, though, right?
It's quite a large bag.
Oh, my God, there's so many tapes inside that bag.
Well, would you believe that you and your colleagues do rather go on a little?
I suppose so. So these are recordings from the radio station?
Yes, and archives, other guests that have appeared over the years, and perhaps a catalogue of just general noises that people make. It's sometimes hard to work out what is word, what is sound, but all of it is audio.
Tom, don't you love it when our guests start each sentence with yes and... It just proves that we're working with professionals.
Yes. And. But I have nothing to add.
Okay, great. Yeah. Fantastic. Okay, well, all right, archivist. Let's get one of these tapes in. Hopefully, we'll get the gist from whatever this first one is, I assume.
Indeed.
I noticed that none of them are labelled.
Well, yes, it is, as you've already mentioned, it is very dark in my office, so my cataloguing system is, it's fair to say when I'm labelling them, I miss.
What do you end up labelling instead?
My wall looks a little like a prison cell with its inmate marking off the years.
Oh, I see. Okay, great.
Except with words such
no,
as...
No, sure, yeah. I get the gist. Yes. Absolutely. Okay, sure, go ahead, plug one of those in. Let's take a listen.
I believe it goes in this way.
The Rowdy Street Games Club Compendium, Outdoors Edition, version 2, 1976 to 1986. A note on geography. Most games collected here were played on Lower Rowley Street, that is, the half of the street between Broadway North and Wallhouse Road. Upper Rowley Street was primarily used for going round to Lee Bradbury's house to watch age-inappropriate films on his Betamax video player. However, in recognition of the fluid nature of gameplay, this compendium also includes games that were played on Wallhouse Road itself, on Sovereign Walk, arguably Rowley Street Rear Passage, the Green, on the corner of Wallhouse Road and Charlotte Street, and backed onto by some Rowley Street back gardens, and in the back garden of the Spring Cottage Public House. Aki 123, a popular variation on hide and seek and known elsewhere, bafflingly, as 40-40, in which players would attempt to return to base without being caught. Games would often include lengthy discussions about the legality of hiding behind the corner shop wall, which is right next to the Aki post, and the moral validity, or otherwise, of the use of Aki 1-2-3 save all if you are the last person home. Action man battles. Each player sets up their action men in exciting battle-ready poses opposite their opponent's troops. Turns are taken to lob stones and bricks at each other's action men until they are all flattened. Reset your action men and repeat until parents realise what you're up to and kick you all out into the street. Army. The more players, the better, obviously, so this would often involve kids from other streets. Whilst the intention was supposedly to be on the winning team, some players appeared to be more interested in achieving a dramatic death. Your correspondent was a particular fan of sliding down some slopy ground in someone's front garden while outgunned by the enemy swarming between trees and parked cars, keeping your machine gun firing as you die. Conquers. The secret, of course, was to enhance your conquer without actually cheating, or getting caught cheating at least. Soaking in vinegar, baking in the oven, these tactics required patience and judgment. Gary Reynolds used to tell a story about his dad carving himself a conker out of wood when he was a kid and varnishing it. We all agreed that that was definitely cheating, but that we would have used it if it had been made for us. Either way, your correspondent remains undefeated champion thanks to his triumphant 143er. Losers. Cricket. Originally played down the middle of the street or across the street with a tennis ball, then later played with more regularity on the green, which meant less risk of being run over and fewer balls lost to Broadway North. Also played in the back garden of the Spring Cottage pub, sometimes at the same time as a game of football and on at least one occasion with some of the same players. Football. Often played in the middle of the street with various sizes of football and sometimes tennis balls. Also played frequently on the green and very occasionally in the terrifying locked, broken glass-strewn, sunken concrete pitch over at the paddock, which was not a paddock, but in fact a collection of high-rise flats with scattered areas of inadequate play equipment. Of course, football was also played in the back garden of the Spring Cottage pub, sometimes at the same time as a game of cricket and on at least one occasion with some of the same players. Headstands and handstands. This was played obsessively for the duration of one particular one-week half-term break under Gary Reynolds' parents' carport, and then was never spoken of again. Hide and Seek, a well-known classic. Several games of Hide and Seek were never actually finished, and so points are probably still available if you were to find some of the players, even at this late stage. Kick the Can, mainly played on the bottom half of Lower Rowley Street for reasons unexplained. Sometimes played with a small construction of sticks rather than a can in some sort of folk horror variant. Knock and Run, also known as Red Apple or Crab Apple or something about apples anyway. Not actually played very often, as nearly everyone on the street knew who at least one of us was, and so we were scared of getting into trouble. Plays, a team-based competitive drama comedy sketch game. A player picked a team and the remaining players gave them a title and a time limit. The players then had between 2 and 5 minutes to create and rehearse a show. Points were then awarded for humour, originality, acting, etc. Often this was played in the building site, which became the car park of Sovereign Walk. Sitting on a wall. Only ever played in the front garden of 54 Rowley Street due to one wall having a top layer of curved bricks. The object was to squeeze as many kids, apparently, onto as small a length of wall as possible. Snowball fights, the winter version of Army. Throwing stones at windows, not as illegal as it sounds, although still illegal, only played round the back of the houses on Wallhouse Road that were due to be demolished to make way for the green. Water fights. Water pistols were frustratingly limited in capacity in the 1970s, and as super soakers were not yet available, we invented the water cannon, otherwise known as a bucket of water and a bicycle pump.
Okay, Archivist.
Yes,
That doesn't seem to have anything to do with a grand conspiracy.
No, like I say, that sometimes you have to look in between the words to find the true meaning.
Oh.
In that case, however, just words.
Okay, so that was not one of the ones that you meant to play to us.
It's a very large bag of tapes. I apologize.
Oh, boy. Okay, well, look, we'll get this sorted out, listeners.
I found it interesting, though, didn't you?
Well, I did. I quite enjoyed it. It was a nice listen. The
different phrases for games, the common language, and yet the many differences and subtleties region to region.
I did have a question. Why did it sound like it had like that vinyl crackling sound that you hear, like the pops and stuff, but then also it was on cassette?
Yeah, it sounded like something from the BBC archive. The BBC. I'll go see if Claudia's all right.
Yeah, you'd better do that. In the meantime, let's listen to a song. Archivists, can you stick around?
Well, of course.
Fantastic.
What song are we listening to?
Well, why are you so interested?
Well,
I guess you're the archivist.
I have lots of favourite noises. Maybe this is one.
Okay, well, this is a song. It's called Without Permission by Caroline Martin.
Oh,
I'm sorry. Well, I hope the rest of you enjoy it here. We'll be back with more of the archivist. Hopefully we'll get to Claudia here on Radio Go.
Oh, well, I just don't know.
And Claudia's all right, by the way.
Oh, God, thank goodness.
Yeah, she's just happy to sit around.
Really?
Apparently there's a lot of sitting in Strictly, so...
Okay, I guess that makes sense.
She's used to it.
Archivist, is this going to take long?
Well, I, you tell me, when you've started to piece together the obvious conspiracy at large... I mean, conspiracy, maybe it's just a random happenstance of occurrences simultaneously manifesting, one or the other, I'm sure.
Okay, Tom? Can I talk to you in private?
Yeah, sure.
Come over here, where, away from the microphones.
Okay.
So, this archivist guy, he's kind of unhinged, right? Like he's a little out of it. Like nothing he's saying makes any sense.
I don't know, like it's sort of coming up with things, yeah. I'm surprised it's gone live.
Don't tell me you're buying this. A grand conspiracy in the tapes of the radio station? And he happens to burst in to interrupt our only famous guest?
I'm part of the way, yeah. I think I am Argos in it, yeah.
You're starting to sound like him. your voice is shifting slightly.
Is it?
just a little bit. Oh, no. Oh, no. It's spreading.
Like the virus.
Like the virus.
Like the virus.
That doesn't exist.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yet.
I hope that whatever this grand conspiracy is doesn't involve a virus about radio waves, or that's going to look real bad on me.
It won't. Okay. So, look bad on you. I'll keep Claudia entertained.
Okay, yeah. Would you mind? How are you going to do that, by the way? Do you know any dancers? Oh, yep, there you go. Wow, look at you. Yeah. Ooh, that's pretty impressive. Tom, I've never seen you dance like that.
A one-man tango.
That's incredible. Putting the lie to the classic phrase, it doesn't take two to tango.
It does not.
Unless that phrase, I've never really considered, maybe that phrase means it takes two brackets maximum to tango.
Well, I'm going to go see Claudia
and
one-man tango in front of her.
Great.
Not ask her to join in, just do it.
She might be interested. I don't know if she actually likes dancing, you know?
She told me on the way in.
Yeah.
She's like...
Is that the first thing she said to you?
That's the first thing she says to anyone, apparently. Okay. She's like, I hate dancing.
Okay.
Before you ask, I hate dancing.
Okay.
And then, yeah, just like, I was like, do you want a coffee? And she was like, yeah, go on then.
Okay. She seems fine. That seems normal.
Yeah, she seemed very, like, up for whatever this is.
Okay.
So,
well, look, you go install Claudia. I'll deal with the archivist. I'll try and get him back down in his box as soon as possible. All right.
Yeah. All right.
Hey, Archivist, thanks so much. I really appreciate you coming up to you know, share this with us. You know, we really value you here at the studio.
Oh, that lady with the dark hair outside seems nice.
Well, that's Claudia Winkleman.
What?
She's, an extremely famous television presenter.
Well, that explains why she's carrying so many knives.
And we're back!
Oh. Welcome back to Radio Go. That was Caroline Martin with Without Permission. Lovely little tune on... Solo guitar, not a fan, Archivist, I guess.
Oh, sorry, I wasn't listening.
No, that's literally your whole job is to be listening. We're here, by the way, with the Archivist of the station, who claims to have some grand conspiracy that he's going to share with us through this bag of tapes. Look, we're going to have to get this over with, man.
Very well. Perhaps we should simply move on to the next cassette in my collection.
That's exactly what I meant.
Oh. Click.
Rather than just saying click, could you actually put it into the machine?
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought it was voice controlled.
No. And even if it was, you would say play, right? You wouldn't say click.
Perhaps the technology that I have in my facility is from a different origin.
Oh, is it? Do you have alien technology down there?
This is a very deep conspiracy. I don't know how far it goes, so I wouldn't care to speculate.
Okay, let's listen to the next tape.
Very well.
Thank you, gentlemen. Please settle down. Settle down. Continue to settle. Initiate, maintain, and bring to a climax the procedure of settling down. Thank you. Fine. Now, for those of you who have been lucky enough not to have me marking your essays, allow me to introduce myself. I am Professor Barrow from the Experimental Mathematics Division here at Oxford Blue University, and today it is my privilege to present on behalf of a large team of contributors our primer paper on the emerging field of quantum mathematics. As is typical whenever a new arithmetical trend rears its head, there have been many excited letters to our department demanding that every implication of this paradigm be considered all at once. However, as those of us with the skill and temperament to have attained tenure in this department can attest, patience is a virtue. For more on which, you can read my paper on the correlation between duration and positivity, entitled Let the Good Times Translate and Rotate on a Single Axis. But I digress. To the topic at hand, it is important that we establish the fundamentals of quantum mathematics. Every implication and nuance of this new mathematical model stems from a single, simple principle, to wit. In quantum mathematics, every number must be considered at all times to be either itself or zero. Now, don't get too excited. It's true that, to the seasoned mathematical mind, the possibilities of such a system immediately ignite one's imagination. For instance, we may take Craig's interpolation theorem. I need not remind you that Craig proved that if a formula phi implies a formula psi, and the two have at least one atomic variable symbol in common, then there is a formula rho, called an interpolant, such that every non-logical symbol in rho occurs in both phi and psi. Phi implies rho, and rho implies psi. And yet, when we apply this proof to quantum mathematics, we see that there is an equally likely possibility that both phi and psi imply absolutely nothing, either apart or together. At this stage, we may presume Craig has already jumped from his window and leave the rest to Newton. Thus, we start from scratch. A possibility equally enticing and terrifying. For without the security of Gödel, of Dirac, of Paley and Dilworth, how must we proceed? Well, gentlemen, prepare to add a new name to that list. Barrow. We begin with what I am sure future generations will inevitably refer to as Barrow's first theorem, which concerns the simple process of addition. For even this, the simplest form of mathematics, is turned on its head when the quantum world meets our own. Given that any number has the potential to be zero instead, and given that there is no way to know when it will be itself or zero, we must conclude that any number added to itself may in fact be itself. Repeat this process an infinite number of times, and you will find that with each successive iteration, the probability of a number remaining itself remains constant, and is not subject to the whims of entropy. Thus, given an infinite plane, any given number x will equal x. Wait, hold on. That can't be right. Any given number x will, once you factor in the causality matrix and abstraction layer, eventually, inevitably, equal itself. Thus, the chance that a quantum number equals zero Excuse me, gentlemen, one moment. I must consult with my colleagues. No, it equals zero. Well, you've calculated it wrong. Yes, you have. Brackens, you dolt. No. Don't you try to turn this around on me. I entrusted you with Barrel's first theorem, and... Well, because you don't have the name recognition. It has to be called Barrel's first theorem. I'm not having this argument with you again, Brackens. Now fix it. Or I swear to God, your funding will disappear so fast you'll have to sell that stupid moustache. I'll stall them. Get it fixed. My apologies. Just a small quirk of the calculations that needed clearing up. We return now to Barrel's first theorem, which may, on the face of it, appear to undermine the entire principle of quantum mathematics that we are here to discuss. However, in reality... And when I refer to reality, I refer, of course, to the natural order of living in which we, of course, are living. In reality, it is only the untrained and untenured mind of the amateur mathematician who may reach that conclusion without considering every implication. And when I refer to the amateur mathematician, I refer, of course, to your standard greengrocer, your theatrical box office clerk, perhaps your rock and, indeed, roll drummer who needs to count off beats, the sort of man for whom mathematics is merely a tool, rather than a playground, a place of worship, of research, of new groundbreaking procedures, algorithms, and such. Where are you going? No, wait, I forbid you to leave this lecture until it is complete. We have no less than six other theorems to consider. Just as soon as Brackens, don't you dare move. We'll run the numbers again. I will not have my life's work made a mockery by a jumped-up PhD student who only got his place because a smarter candidate got typhoid. I will not accept this. One equals zero. There. Are you happy now? One equals zero, and your stipend equals even less than that. Security! Thank God. Please escort this man... No! Not me! Unhand me at once! Your reality is subject to quantum interference! I am a god!
Wow.
I don't know about you,
that was,
but...
That something.
Indeed. I, the confusion that perhaps we are both feeling suggests its importance in its content.
Well, I'm feeling confusion. Tom, are you feeling confusion?
I didn't really listen. I was out with Claudia.
Okay, so you're...
We were just watching footage of a... man getting a football kicked at him.
Why?
It just, like, just needed to entertain her. That's the first thing I thought of.
Tom! Archivists, what was that? That has nothing to do with the grand conspiracy. It was just a bunch of mathematical nonsense.
Well, if you start piecing the two pieces of audio together, we've got different definitions and terms of the simple element of play. Here we have the basic language of the universe, mathematics. If you start to piece them together, you can imagine even the social argument that is, how do we label a simple bread roll in different parts of the country?
Right.
It's driving people crazy. It's like a religious war, but
Archivists.
It's like terrorism, but spelled with an afternoon tea.
Archivist, you already claimed that the first tape that you played was a mistake, that wasn't related to your grand conspiracy.
Are there any mistakes in this world?
Well, you said that there were. So...
Maybe that was my error. A true mistake. It's only now becoming clear.
Be honest with me. Did you mean to play us that tape, or is that just another random unlabeled cassette in your bag?
It may not even be the correct bag.
All right, Archivist. Listen, we are running out of time here. Can you please just find us one tape that you know is important, that you can guarantee has something to do with this, and then we'll try and get Claudia on for a little bit, okay?
Well, as I've pointed out, my labelling system is perhaps a bit of a fixer-upper. Oh. The scientific method of lucky dip will provide us with the vital clue.
Oh, boy. Okay, here we go. Good luck, everyone.
Come here. Good girl. It's all right. Come on. Oh, shit. Sorry. I hate voice notes. I just hit record and then got distracted by a dog. Ignore this. I'm going to start over. Right. Try that again. Hey, mate. It's me, Ovs. Hope you're okay and only not replying because you're doing something fun. Or possibly because it's 3 a.m. Yeah, sorry. So which is worse, voicemail or voice notes? Both a bit presumptuous or pretentious or whatever big P word I mean. Phosphorus. No. Anyway, I just needed to tell somebody what happened, how the hell I got here, and that someone's you, Ovs. The doctor said a bit of fresh air, a bit of exercise would help my head as much as anything, so I've been trying to get out more. But out is where the people are, and yeah. So I've been doing my medically sanctioned walkabouts by night when there's no crazies knocking about. Or are there? Anyway, I've got a little voice telling me that maybe strutting around in the small hours isn't the best idea, but honestly, I've not seen a soul, except that dog, and they've buggered off, so perfectly safe. Far from populous, you might say. Another good P word there. Also, I'm dressed as Batman. So I'm feeling pretty safe. Costume's under my coat, Ovs. And I've got the head hood thing with the ears down so I can have my headphones in. Perfect secret identity. Anyway, so I'm doing my fitness, sitting on the swings and having a smoke when they just appeared, mate. Aliens. Not like when I saw that ghost, either. That was just a florist. But this was an actual alien encounter. I know, right? I don't know how to describe them. You know, like, most of us have got two arms, two legs, two nostrils, two faces, if they're a backstabbing bastard. Well, yeah, any of these aliens, whatever you're thinking, they're the exact opposite, mate. Yeah, you're just going to have to use your imagination. They didn't talk, but they still communicated. They had this kind of weird, swirly intensity, you know, like if body language put on funny voices. Anyway, I figured at least if they can't talk, I bloody well can, as you're probably well aware. So I was all like, hey, all right, nothing, I'll try again. Please don't ask me to take you to our leaders, they're shit. But then, no, still nothing from them, but then, zap! I mean, fucking hell, mate, some kind of ray gun. I figure they've killed me. Posthumous, if you like, PPP. But it's weird glowing light, sci-fi sound effect, and I'm all tingly like I'm wearing a whole bodysuit made of Velcro pockets, all filled with mobile set to vibrate. Not gonna lie, not totally unpleasant. My whole life's flashing before my eyes. But there's good bits too. Previous, you might say. Us riding bikes when we were little. Me kissing you-know-who at the Leavers Ball and then you rescuing me from their other half who we didn't know they had. Perilous. You looking after me when I threw up everywhere on my 30th. Precious. You always helping me, mate. Then you and me starting to drift. That's when I realise I've not been zapped into space pieces at all. I'm still here. I mean, not here. I'll get to that. They took me to their leader instead. It's not a person, you see. It's more of an understanding. And I understood, mostly. So, teleportation, right? What it is, bear with, it's information. Not the transfer of matter, just what matters. Teleportation ain't transport, mate. It's communication. Profound, eh? So, how did I get here? Well, I walked, mate. I walked to your garden for the 3,000th time. It's the first place I go when I, running to you is habit, and I know that that's not fair. Aliens, mate, I was moved. I know you're busy these days, and I'm happy for you, I promise. You see, it was my whole life that flashed before my eyes, mate, including the stuff still to come. No spoilers, but there's careers, inventions, disasters, and, well, some very specific new hobbies that I won't go into. And you know what, mate? It'll do. I'll be fine. We'll be fine. So I bought you a box of those weird crisps that only you seem to like. The ones that taste like pickles. I always have them in for when you come over, but, well, they've been gathering dust a bit lately, haven't they? So all yours, gratis. Waiting for you on your doorstep. With love, mate. I've seen the future, so, you know, enjoy your preposterous pickle provision package, my patient permanent pal. All the big P's there. And, of course, peace. Someone's ringing their phone. So I'm going to hang up. Is it you calling? No, it's not you calling. I've just dialed voicemail by accident, haven't I? It's that dog again. Not on the phone, Ovs. Come on. Come on, girl. Come on. Let's go and find some more flying saucers.
Archivist? You have a kind of faraway look in your eye.
I found that quite moving myself, if I'm honest. But I think that was the gist of the tale, was it not? The teleportation can perhaps, words, sounds, move us to places we didn't know we needed to visit.
You have tears streaming down your face.
It is. The sound of crying is perhaps one of the ugliest noises. It is not on my list, but my.
Oh, boy.
All of those pieces together built a human mosaic, a tapestry.
Didn't have anything to do with each other.
But that is
fully irrelevant.
But isn't that If you take all of the jigsaws in the world and try and piece them into one glorious...
They wouldn't fit together.
It would take a long time.
They wouldn't be relevant.
Okay, but you must understand there's a connection between what people are hearing and the pictures or actions it conjures in their mind's eye. The ear is the most important part of the eye, after all, like smell is to memory or taste is to your outfit.
Archivist.
Yes.
Listen, if you wanted to come and be on the show, you could have just asked... You didn't have to invent a grand conspiracy and try and loosely connect some separately written pieces of work all together to try and make it fit together.
Well,
not everything has to have a meaning.
Well, that's good, I suppose. It means there's an element of free will, and also, well, I didn't know that you were just accepting guests.
Of course, we've had some fucking morons on this show.
Yes, I've heard.
All right, well, look, next time, just stop by. Just say hi, and I'd love to hear your tapes.
I have many of them. Perhaps you'd like to come to my office.
Tom?
Claudia's gone.
What do you mean she's gone?
She I tried to stop her, but she just walked off.
Did she say anything?
No.
Oh, you didn't try and get her involved in the tango, did you?
No. But as she left, I did see Rob Brydon out in the rain.
Okay.
He was playing Kirby, of all things.
That's incredible. Did you get him?
Why would I?
Oh, for God's sake. All right, well, look, we're out of time. Thanks, Tom. Once again, you've managed to clutch defeat from the jaws of victory. All right, well, I guess that's going to have to do it for us here at Radio Go. We're out of time. I want to thank my producer, Tom, for absolutely nothing. I thank the archivist for showing up, and I want to thank Alex Kelly and John Hunter and Jack Laird for no reason in particular. Thank you all for listening to Radio Go. Goodbye!